Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him? Yes, he's dressed up. He looks sharp today. Rich Steripoli, retired Secret Service special agent in charge. So thanks so much for being back on the show, Rich. We appreciate it. I understand that we may be joined by Frank Loveridge from the Secret Service, another SAC as well. I know that they had some kind of a active shooter thing going on. So I know we'll have to have an intervention, tell him to get his priorities straight, but it's all good. So, hey, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Here we go. Our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. And, you know, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to make sure this content's available to you guys. Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor, Aero Precision USA, our arms sponsor. We also have gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're reaching over 1 million people on stream right now. Also, twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. And we are doing a Two Bells giveaway today, so stay tuned for that. And also, fishorlandobass.com. You know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. And when you drop the wife and the kids or grandkids off at Disney, you now have options. Do the bass fishing charter with Zach at fishorlandobass.com. Or he also does alligator hunting. It's catch and relocate alligators, the Florida alligator. It's a heck of an opportunity. And we're trying to get video of Rich doing that. And Rich is volunteering Frank to do that. So I don't know how it's going to pan out. But we have medics on standby. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So check that out, fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafe.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And finally, Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we got a ton of articles. The first one, Jack Smith tracked private communications, calls of nearly a dozen GOP senators during the January 6th probe, according to the FBI, the new FBI. We're going to dissect that. We broke that yesterday. We got more information now. Then we've got Attorney General Pam Bondi. Boy, was she in spectacular form yesterday when she was going up against Senator Dick Durbin. And that is his real name. Believe it. I'm not just throwing that name in there. His name is really Dick Durbin. And here's one quote from her. If you're not going to protect your citizens, President Trump will. It was spectacular. Then Trump promises to straighten out Chicago's crime problem if Democratic leaders won't do it. So that's three main stories back to back if we have time to get to them. And then we're going to continue. A former Las Cruces officer ends up being granted a new trial after a manslaughter conviction. You know, this conviction, you know, when he took out a guy that had grabbed his partner's, taser, I think this, and it was on top of his partner. It was just a bad scene. This guy got convicted and this bothered everybody. And so wait till you hear the judge that questioned that overturned it. Then we got a man fatally shot after attacking an NYPD officer inside the police station. We got a naked knife wielding guy shot to death after charging at police. We got FBI agent gets suspended after refusing to perp walk James Comey. Suspect wounded in a shootout with Portland police at a gas station. We got a female Florida firefighter charged with stalking after dumping 75 red stained tampons in her ex's yard, and they got like markers and put it on, you know, stain them, but still. Then St. Johns County deputies shoot and kill a guy holding a gun after a neighbor reports a suspicious person. So yeah, guys, we got a lot to go with here. So look, let's go ahead and get started. You know, our first one, and if you don't mind, Rich, I know you're familiar with the stories. I'm going to take mostly the titles on this. There was one article that gave a lot more information than the others at rvmnews.com. But the first one, this is all foxnews.com, tampafreepress.com, and rvmnews.com. They're titled, you know, Jack Smith tracked private communications and calls of nearly a dozen GOP senators during the January 6th probe, according to the FBI. And then outrageous, FBI spied on eight U.S. senators in Trump probe that became Jack Smith's case. And then another one, AG Pam Bondi slams FBI's Arctic Frost as political firestorm ignites over GOP senator surveillance. And then finally, this one in RVM News, FBI Director Kash Patel fires officials, launches investigation that reports Biden's FBI spied on GOP senators. So again, we got Kash Patel talking. And remember, the FBI is trying so hard to redeem themselves. They're announcing a series of immediate disciplinary investigative actions on Tuesday after reports of the FBI and Special Counsel Jack Smith's team monitored the private communications of eight Republican senators during an investigation that was tied to the January 6th riots, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. And of course, they're saying riots. I'm not. The controversy stems from records released earlier this year. Now, as Republican senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, they got the documents out there, but the documents detailed the FBI and the DOJ's use of surveillance powers under what is known as Operation Arctic Frost. And according to the newly surfaced information, federal authorities, they tracked the private phone records of several sitting lawmakers, including the following senators, and I'm going to read eight off: Lindsey Graham, South Carolina; Marsha Blackburn, Tennessee; Ron Johnson, Wisconsin; Josh Hawley, Missouri; Cynthia Loomis, Wyoming; Bill Hagerty of Tennessee; Dan Sullivan, Alaska; and then Tommy Turberville in Alabama. And then also the same operation allegedly monitored communications involving a Republican representative, Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. Now, this Operation Arctic Frost, it started with the Biden admin, and it was led by the DOJ and FBI as part of a broader look into the events that surrounded January 6th. And the investigation also resulted in the seizure of government-issued phones that belonged to who other but Trump and Pence, as agents conducted a wide-ranging series of interviews nationwide. Now, in response to the findings, Patel pledged to bring accountability to the office. He said, hey, we recently uncovered proof that the phone records of U.S. lawmakers were seized for political purposes. And he wrote that on Twitter, and that abuse of power ends now. He's following up, backing up his words by saying that he's confirmed that multiple employees have been terminated. The agency's CR-15 squad, not familiar with that, hopefully Rich can clue us in, reportedly involved in the surveillance. Those guys have been disbanded, and they're doing an internal investigation is already been started as way. So this is just the beginning. We got a little over 4 minutes. So what do you got there, Rich?
Well, it's interesting. When you talk about the January 6th event, I assume you're talking about the event where the Biden FBI sent almost 250 of their own FBI agents into the crowd, right, to continue to incite and motivate people to actually go into the Capitol. And the events unfolded as we saw on TV as a result of that, right? But this entire Arctic Frost operation that they've put together here, listen, is purely done as a way to get at Trump, right? Whether it was all fabricated or they went and certainly abused their authority, this borders on ridiculous. People need to be held accountable for this. People need to go to jail. I think what Kash Patel is doing by just firing people outright, he's going to be left with very few FBI agents. You're going to come to find out that most of the Bureau has been permeated by this woke DEI, you know, pro-Biden, anti-Trump sentiment. And it's a real problem. And the public is starting to find out more and more about what actually went on inside the Bureau.
You know, no doubt. I'll tell you, how bad would that be if we had a bunch, if we didn't have enough federal agents to do the job? How far down the rabbit hole do you think they're going to have to go?
I think they're going to end up going pretty far down, right? We know the leadership has been highly compromised, and it goes all the way down to all the analysts that they've got involved there, right? No FBI agent, no federal agent is doing anything in a vacuum, right? If you're requesting records, you're putting pencil to paper, you're doing anything, you've got to do that with more than just yourself, right? Unless you're running a one-man rogue operation, but that only happens in the movies. So there's going to be plenty of people at the Bureau that are going to be fired and ultimately held accountable. Now, hopefully some of them go to prison for what they've done, right? Because that's the only way you're going to be able to curtail this and prevent it from happening again. Pam Bondi, look, I love the lady. She's talking a great game, but we have yet to see handcuffs put on anyone, right? And that includes James Comey, right? Comey should have been perp walked. That should have been a spectacle, if for no other reason than to show the rest of the world, hey, we're not going to tolerate this nonsense anymore. Yet they allowed him to go in through, you know, through the garage and do everything quietly yesterday. But hopefully we take a much more aggressive posture and start arresting some of these people, particularly involved with this Arctic Frost, you know, nonsense.
On that note, and talking about Pam Bondi, you know, realclearpolitics.com, who you hooked me up with, thank you very much, the Washington Examiner, and Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. We got Attorney General Pam Bondi versus Illinois Senator Dick Durbin. If you're not going to protect your citizens, President Trump will. There's a whole transcript that they have in that article, which is pretty spectacular. And then the other headlines, Bondi clashes with Senate Democrats in a fiery hearing amid government shutdown. And then Senate Judiciary hearing heats up over, Epstein documents, Bondi and Durbin clash. You know, people that don't know Pam, she can handle herself. And she can handle herself quite well, as was evident. I'm not going to go through the whole transcripts on the case. That'll be under our video that comes out tomorrow on our Rumble channel at 9 o'clock in the morning. But did you see or hear about any of the exchange between her and Durbin? What'd you think?
I thought it was fantastic, right? I think the biggest mistake that the U.S. ever did, maybe I'll hold the FCC responsible for this, was allowing these Senate and these congressional hearings to be televised, right? In the old days, it was C-SPAN. Now it's, carried live on Fox and Newsmax. And what it's doing is it's circumventing the process and giving these dopes their 15 minutes of fame. And that degenerates into the shouting match that you saw go on with, during Pam Bondi's testimony.
I get it. I think you're right. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix, it's almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important, supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. They've even got a code for you. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a solid and do you one better. They're going to give you a radio code so you automatically get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. It's radio 15. So radio 15, type that in. They get 15% off your next order. And hey, Mission Made pants. I got my Mission Made pants, Rich. They fit like a glove. They are fantastic. I am so happy with those. So Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies and ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, my favorite product they have, it's called the glove. And the glove has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3, the hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And it's all about their CD3. They have non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing CD3, that stands for conductive distraction and de-escalation technology. So that's the key, and they've got a patent on it. So friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge Rich Steripoli as well. We've been talking about Pam Bondi's exchange with Senator Durbin, and it was quite impressive, I must say. I was very impressed to see her not only hold her own, but I think she gave it better than she took it. If anyone left on the short end of the stick, he got the short end of the stick on that one. He should have never opened up that door with her.
Well, part of the problem is a lot of these senators and congressmen, they've been there for 50 years, right? This is the only job they've ever had or that they can certainly recall ever having. And they're so used to just throwing stuff out there with impunity where nobody ever gives anything back to them. Nobody ever questions them on anything. That they took this opportunity to try to pull the same stunt with Pam Bondi, and she just wasn't having it. And, she was loaded for bear, and everything she threw back, not just to Durbin, but everyone else, you can't argue with facts, right? What she was throwing out there, she was stating fact. And, that's tough to dispute, especially when you don't like what they're throwing back at you.
This Trump 2.0, I got to admit, I'm impressed. It was almost like she anticipated everything that he was going to say. And then some of the things that she said maybe led him down that hole to where he just didn't get it. He just wasn't smart enough to shut his mouth and to bail out. And maybe thinking that she was a female, maybe he thought that he would have maybe be able to intimidate her, have one up on her. But yeah, he was. I think he was in for a rude awakening after that exchange. And then it just made America fall more in love with Pam and the Trump administration, in my opinion. Than what some of these senators are doing with prolonging what's going on with the shutdown.
Well, yeah. I mean, these senators and congressmen are so used to being able to roll over all these congressional aides and these pages and all these other folks that are running around, you know, trying to get their career started, you know, in the Capitol, that, you know, they'll just keep talking and they really don't even understand what they're asking half the time. And they invite more problems for themselves, like Durbin did, as well as a few others, you know, Schiff, another one. And they just aren't prepared to handle the reality of what Pam Bondi is and others. Right. I thought she did a great job and absolutely represented the administration perfectly. Good job.
Yeah. And the American people. Moving along, we got, you know, our third main story, WashingtonTimes.com and Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Trump promises to straighten out Chicago's crime problem if Democratic leaders won't. It's kind of like what Pam said, you know, with Durbin. You know, if you're not going to do it, you know, Trump's going to fix the problems and, you know, for you. So the President Trump on Tuesday promised that if Chicago leaders cannot get a handle on the city crime problem, the federal government will take charge. He doubled down on his threat to invoke the Insurrection Act. That should give people a pucker factor to send in federal troops. And here's a quote saying that it's been invoked before. As you know, if you look at Chicago, Chicago is a great city where there is a lot of crime. And if the governor can't do the job, we'll do the job. It's all very simple. And that's what Trump told reporters from the Oval Office. He goes on to talk about the crime problem was obvious to everybody except for the Illinois Democratic leaders. He said they probably had 50 murders in Chicago over the last 5, 6, 7 months. Many people were shot. And then the governor gets up, according to Trump, and he says, hey, well, we can handle it. They can't handle it, according to Trump, which I think any intelligent American would agree with. He says they don't know what they're doing. The mayor's grossly incompetent. He's at a 4% approval rating in Chicago. To have a great country, you can't have crime. And we don't have crime, but we have cities where there's tremendous crime, and Chicago is one of them. And if the governor can't straighten it out, we'll straighten it out. So it gives a little history about the Insurrection Act of 1807 and a federal law that allows for the president to deploy actual U.S. military or the Federalites, state National Guard troops. And you're starting to see little hints of that stuff going on now, the quash what the president sees as an insurrection against the United States. Goes on to say that, according to a 2006 report by the Congressional Research Service, before invoking the Insurrection Act, the president has to do some stuff. So it says they must first issue a proclamation ordering the insurgents to disperse within a limited time. And if the situation does not resolve itself, the president can then issue an executive order to send in the troops. And the last president to invoke the Insurrection Act, which I had forgotten about, was George H.W. Bush during the 1992 Los Angeles riots. And then it says back in 1989, the U.S. Virgin Islands following Hurricane Hugo. So it's just priceless. And then we have our next article related to this: Texas National Guard deployed to Chicago as lawsuit fails to block troop entry. So yeah, the Texas National Guard, they've actually already arrived in Chicago, and this is all Donald Trump, and this is Donald Trump 2.0. And it also talks about how they Attorney General Quan Raiol filed a lawsuit trying to keep that from happening. And then we have a judge, April Perry, declined to issue an immediate block, paving the way for the mobilization that Trump wanted in the first place. So, Rich, the floor is yours.
It's pretty apparent, you know, that blimp of a governor they've got there, Pritzker, and the thug of a mayor, they're not going to do a damn thing. They are perfectly content with that city being looted and set on fire. I don't know how much more time they need to be given to get it together, but it's not going to happen. It's just getting worse and worse. You cannot have one of the major cities, as well as the home of one of the most major airports in the United States, seeing, you know, 50 homicides a month here. How many shootings? 100 shootings over the course of a week. You just can't have this. So I'm a big fan of utilizing the power of the federal government and getting this up and running. You know, you mentioned the L.A. riots back in 92. I was actually sent out to Los Angeles to handle some of that L.A. riot stuff with a U.S. Marshal Task Force. And I think they need to replicate the same thing here in Chicago, Portland, and Boston, and any of these other cities. Get the U.S. Marshals, shut down the courts, get them out there, and send in all these other federal agencies and start, you know, dealing with all these criminals that are out there, whether they're illegal aliens, gangbangers, whatever they've got. Round them up, shut this down, and take back control of the city. And if the mayor and the governor get in the way, which, you know, you're going to see the governor coming a mile away. He's not just going to show up somewhere. Lock him up, and you know that's it. But we've also seen, and I think this is worthy of talking about, is what's going on with the Chicago Police Department the last couple of days with this police chief and the senior leadership's refusal to provide backup support to officers and federal agents that are in need of assistance. I think that is such a travesty and speaks volumes about what's going on in Chicago. It's just craziness.
You know, I'm seeing over here on Rumble, MVS is typing in that, you know, term limits, 8 years. They said these career politicians that are you know, making the situation even worse, and people just aren't getting it. So, but of course, you would think in Chicago, having people performing like this, you wouldn't have a governor and a mayor that would be able to stick around either with low approval rating. So maybe I just don't know. But guys, it's time for our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with the Solus bolt action. And that's not all. Their M4, E1 Pro, and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And my name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by a former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Rich Steripoli. And hey, we've been talking about some interesting stuff. We've talked about a lot of things, including Pam Bondi taking on, a senator yesterday. And of course, now Trump saying, hey, if you don't fix Chicago, we're going to do it for you. And now he's already sent in the guard. So final words on that one, Rich.
No, I think it's about time, right? This is badly needed. The governor and the elected officials just are not going to do anything. They're not going to get this cleaned up. It's going to get worse and worse. And it's high time for the federal government to step in and clamp down on this and do what you did in D.C. Replicate that, and shut this nonsense down.
All right. I love it. I love it. Now we've got about 10 minutes before our next commercial break. And let me just remind our people that are watching the show on the live stream. So on the live stream, and that is, from 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time, Monday through Friday, we are doing two contests today. So if you type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell and give us your email address, we'll be able to get that $20 gift card to you. So that means that your first $20 is going to be covered by the people that built the online store for us called Two Bells, and that's at leoroundtable.com. So again, type in the number 2, the letter B for Bell on the stream, and your email address in order to be able to enter that one. Or I know that Betty Dunn typed in her phone number because she does not have an email. And then we've got the $50 Galls gift card giveaway. And all you have to do is type in the word Galls, the name of the sponsor, G-A-L-L-S, and your email address. And as long as you haven't won either one of those in the last 90 days, you'll be able to enter those contests. And hopefully we'll be announcing winners at the next commercial break. So that said, let's hop into our next story. And, it's important, guys. I got to cover this. KOAT.com, former Las Cruces officer granted a new trial after a manslaughter conviction. This conviction bothered a lot of people, including me. Former Las Cruces police officer Brad Lumsford, that name should ring a bell with most cops, convicted of manslaughter early this year. He was trying to save his partner's life. He's been granted a new trial due to a juror substitutions, plural, and alleged bias. So listen to how this happened. You've heard about, script shopping, or doctor shopping for like scripts and stuff. This is bad. Lumsford's attorney argued that juror substitutions and anti-police bias led to an unfair trial. And he went on to say, and his name is Matt Chandler, if a juror conceals those opinions, even after being asked about them, did that create constitutional violations? That's the question he's asking. Essentially, it was an unfair trial. And that's according to Matt Chandler, Lumsford's defense attorney. Now, the case started back in August of 22. Lumsford, or cop that was convicted of manslaughter, he shot and killed a guy named Presley Ease, a bad guy. And this guy was accused of stealing a beer at a gas station in Las Cruces. So it's still a criminal offense, but a minor one. So video footage shows our bad guy on top of one of the officers attempting to grab a taser before our guy, Lumsford, ends up shooting the guy in the head. And this is it kind of goes on to say, we fought for this family. We fought for Presley Ease. And of course, you know which attorney this is. And we felt like we got a fair result. I bet they did, because they got a cop convicted of manslaughter. Now we're going to have to fight a little bit more to make sure that this result is upheld. This is according to a guy named John Duran, the chief deputy of the criminal division at the New Mexico Department of Justice. So, yeah, we're talking about the DOJ, but don't get excited. This is the state DOJ, the New Mexico DOJ, because I can guarantee you, if it was the federal DOJ, this would not be going down. And KOAT's legal expert, they got a guy named John Day. He explained that the judge found the juror error significant enough to overturn the conviction. So kudos for that judge. And according to this expert, the judge noted it was a clerical error on the part of a court. Two of the jurors who sat through that were regular jurors, they were let go. But when were they let go? They were replaced with a couple of alternates. The judge said that after the fact, that shouldn't have happened. And one of them specifically indicated that Brad Lumsford was not guilty and that there was nothing that was going to change that particular juror's mind. But yet that juror was taken out after the trial was over. And he was substituted, according to a defense attorney Chandler. And in the court documents, the judge, James B. Foy, said that the state's case was weak at best. The attorney general's office said that it plans to appeal the decision. It said that we're prepared to call our expert witnesses to say that, this use of force and the weight of the evidence that they were prepared to present, that it was weak, but in fact, very strong. And through, they talk about, they think that 12 jurors agreed that it was unanimously enough to, in the course of 2 hours, to convict this guy. But of course, they're not even addressing the juror swapping that was going on. And it was all calculated. Las Cruces Police Chief Jeremy Story didn't say a lot, but he did say that he's pleased with the decision. And there's no new trial been set yet, but it's coming. So I bet this guy, this cop, is just like, thanking God and just like, wow, this is huge, Rich.
Well, I don't think you're going to be, any cop's going to be able to get a fair trial by jury, since the OJ trial, right? That kind of set the whole tone for how this was going to go. I got to tell you, if I was in uniform or back in law enforcement, there's no way I would take the chance on a jury trial, particularly in some of these jurisdictions. It's bad enough you got to deal with one judge who holds your fate in his hands. Now you're going to rely on 12 people, some of whom are professional jurors. What does that even mean, right? You should be on jury duty once, and we'll see you again maybe in 5 or 6 years. But to keep seeing the same people sitting on a jury over and over again, this isn't like, these are like professional mourners at these Irish funerals, right? You can't have that, because it compromises the integrity of the entire process here. And to continue to do all these shenanigans with swapping jurors in and out, you've just tainted the entire trial. That thing should have been dismissed, and that jury should have been dismissed, from the get-go here once that stuff came to light. This is just ridiculous what they're doing to this poor guy.
Yeah, I would like to see them not pursue the charges. I don't think that that's going to happen, but that's most certainly the right thing to happen. I don't know how in the world they think they have a chance to get a conviction on this guy again. Maybe it was the perfect storm, but I tell you, this whole juror swap thing really, really troubles me. How corrupt and unethical was that? From what I've read, there's no question.
Well, the whole thing's corrupt and unethical from the get-go, right? Because right now, it's the in vogue thing to do to prosecute cops, especially in situations like this. I mean, this is pretty clear cut here, right? This cop did nothing wrong. Right. What's he supposed to do? Let that guy grab that other cop's gun, or his, in this case, the taser, and then his gun, and go out and shoot, 12 people out in the, the members of the citizenry. Right. So I didn't see a problem with what this cop did. But this should never have been brought to the court to begin with. But this is another opportunity for people to get their 10 minutes of fame. And this is the result of that. It's unfortunate, but we're going to be dealing with this for a while.
Yeah, but just, I guess what really bothers me is you have a juror that says that's vocal enough to say, hey, look, cop didn't do anything wrong. Nothing's going to be able to change my mind. And the trial ends. And then they say, you know what? We're going to replace you with somebody else. Maybe someone that feels that thinks differently. That just, I don't know how they think that they're going to be able to get past that. That was just, that's just crazy.
The whole thing is crazy. But, listen, it's like anything else. We'll give it a shot. We'll throw it out there and see what happens. And that's what these people are willing to do. Yeah. But now you got this cop caught in the middle here. Who knows how much longer this is going to go on before this guy's ultimately cleared of everything. But what a crazy process.
You know, we got a comment on Rumble from Bill BC saying that he liked you calling the governor the blimp of a governor. So he was taken with that phrase. I think he wants to borrow that from you, if you don't mind. So
well, feel free to use it, but just keep in mind that I would have said a lot more, but I've been banned and forewarned by our host, Mr. The Block, here about.
Oh my gosh, you're really going to go there.
But listen, you calling that guy a blimp is it pales in comparison to what people have been calling him on major networks and in the press, right? The guy's just a total disgrace, as is his entire family. I don't have one good thing to say about that guy, and the results, I think, speak for themselves.
Well, we have some stories with video components. Are you ready to roll down that alley?
Sure.
All right. Rumble.com, this is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Man fatally shot after attacking NYPD officer inside the police station. Guys.
Good.
This was like the video footage. It starts off with a surveillance video. We have body cams. Well, we got a lot of video footage on this one, but this is wild. But there's always something to be learned from this stuff. So this is in Brooklyn, New York. A guy ends up getting shot and killed by NYPD. And that's the best news out of this thing. After attacking a female officer with a knife at a police station early on Sunday morning. So according to police, our bad guy, Justin Coleman, 35 years old, he enters the private rear entrance of the 73rd precinct in Brooklyn. So he's coming in an area that he's not supposed to. And just for visual, there are two electronic glass doors that open and close, and this guy's coming in, but he's coming in a restricted area. And you have a female officer. It's not clear whether she's just happens to be walking in that direction or if she's responding to him on the outside because they saw him through camera systems, but she's walking there and then they come face to face and she's telling him that he's got to go around to the backside. There's no sound, so we can't hear what's going on, but yeah, the article said that that's what she was doing. So in the middle of doing this, the guy, he's got a really thick like winter coat on and he reaches inside of his waistband and he pulls out a substantial knife. And then he just starts, you know, they say it was a butcher knife and it's 14 inches long and he adds a slashing her and he cuts her in the face and there's a lot of other motion. So I don't know if that's the only time he cut her or not, but I know that she at least got hit in the face. She doubles down and almost gets like in a football tackle position. She like pushes him out the freaking, you know, the outside electronic door. And then she's running back in for safety. She trips and she falls down. Now we got two male officers and a female officer that stays behind that run in and they run out to grab him. But our female that's been slashed, she jumps up and we're in a commercial break. Guys, hold that thought. And I almost missed this, but hey, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a certified firearm specialist, and I'm talking about a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist by going to their courses. And that is like what Captain Brett Bartlett's done and also attorney Ken Affianco. And, you know, they've been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. The founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge Rich Deripoli as well. And, you know, let me just tell you that we do have the winner for the Two Bells gift card giveaway, and that is Trisha Smalley. So I want to get that out there. We just did that on the commercial break. We're still hoping to be able to get that $50 Goals gift card away. And, you know, we left off talking about a pretty wild story. And let me just kind of refresh everybody's memory. There's a video component of this. It's at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Man fatally shot after attacking NYPD officer inside a police station. So our bad guy, he's 35 years old. His name is Justin Coleman. He comes in at the 73rd precinct in Brooklyn and he's coming in the wrong way in a restricted access door. We got a female officer walking towards him and she's telling him that he has to go around to the front. He pulls out a knife, and it's not just any knife. It's a 14-inch butcher knife, and he starts slashing at her, slashes her face. She ends up buckling down in like a tackle, you know, stance, and she pushes him out the door. The door closes. He's outside. She comes back inside. There's two glass, you know, automatic doors. She falls down. Now we got two male officers, seemingly aware of what happened. So they run out to grab this guy, or they go after him. And our female officer has been slashed. She goes out with the two male officers. There's a second female that showed up, doesn't go outside. So, and so that's kind of where I left off. So according to police, our officer, Venus Pagan, you know, she's the one that ended up getting slashed. So the guy pulled out the butcher knife, of course, slashes her. So several officers, you know, show up. They apparently tried to do a taser on this guy outside the precinct office. That is, that's not successful. But then we got several officers, including Officer James. And this is the guys, these are the guys that ended up shooting. So we got James Magnelli and Officer Ernest Joseph. They end up shooting this guy. He's coming at them with a knife. They discharge 13 rounds. And they strike the guy multiple times. He goes to the hospital where he's pronounced dead. And then they recover the 14-inch long butcher knife at the scene. Rich Steripoli.
Listen, I think it's a great shoot, right? My only question is, where's that butcher knife, right? There's a lot of restaurants that could use some new utensils, so I'd like to see that put to good use. They killed the guy. Good. That's one less bad guy we got to worry about. Just to give you some background, that there are two precincts in Brooklyn, the 7-5 and the 7-3. That have incredibly high crime rates, specifically high homicide rates. As a matter of fact, that particular precinct is such a high crime rate, it only covers 1 square mile. I mean, think about that. You got an entire police station that leads New York City in homicides that only covers 1 square mile. New York City is such a big problem with security in their police stations that every shift, right? Keep in mind, all of you listening know this, there are 3 shifts that are turned out during the course of a day, 7 days a week. There is at least one uniformed cop designated for station house security. And part of his job is to walk outside the police station, walk around the block, and make sure that these types of events don't become common occurrence. Because this does happen every now and then. And that's exactly the type of response that you'd expect if somebody shows up in a New York City police station with a butcher's knife or a gun or any other type of weapon. You're going to be killed. You can't attack cops in their own house. So wow. Kudos to those guys. I can't speak to the female officer, that second one that never went outside. I don't know what the story is there, but this is the type of response that you should have seen from the Chicago Police Department, you know, a couple of days ago.
I think she stayed back because someone has to man the office, Rich.
Somebody's got to stay there. I'm sure there's a sticker that says last round, turn off the lights. So there's a conundrum. If I'm the last guy out, do I really turn off the lights? I mean, what do I do here? So I can understand our hesitancy.
Well, I was being a little facetious, but you know, where I work, you'd have a hard time. You'd have to order someone to stay behind in the building because those guys would be barreling out. And I know your guys would be too.
Well, and there you go. You picked up on a good point there, right? It's the same thing that in Chicago. Can you imagine being one of the cops that didn't respond to back those people up? Right. Now that's a little bit of a different situation, but you would never want to be the cop that went out and was known as, hey, that's the guy that didn't respond to another cop in need of assistance. It just doesn't happen, which is why I don't think that situation in Chicago will be repeated again. But that's a little bit of a digression from this story.
Well, look, let's jump to our next story real quick. Naked knife wielding man shot to death after charging at police. And that, again, is at rumble.com and our favorite channel, This Is Butter. So we're in Cambridge, Maryland on this one. The Independent Investigations Division of the AG's office now, they released the video from the fatal shooting involving the Cambridge Police Department officers that happened on Thursday, September the 4th.
Do you not?
Stop the knife! In Dorchester County. Now, there's a lot going on here. We've got 4.5 minutes, so let me go through this quickly. Our naked 30-year-old bad guy, his name is Ryan Garcy of Cambridge, and according to the initial report, officers responded to a 911 call. It's 5:12 in the afternoon. It's September the 4th, And there was a report that a guy was chasing a woman with a knife. Now, officers, when they get there, they issue verbal commands instructing the guy to drop the knife. He doesn't comply. And did I mention that he's naked, by the way? So then we have two officers deploying their tasers, and they are ineffective. But again, we're dealing with a guy. Normally, they're not effective because of clothing. This dude's freaking naked, you know? And then as the guy continues to hold the knife, he charges at one of the officers. Now, in the body cam, the officer with the body cam that were watching him, he actually has a taser in his hand. But at this point, the bad guy who's naked with a knife, he's chasing a uniformed officer who turns around and is running away from him. And bad guy's got the knife, and now the backdrop for the guy with the taser is the victim cop being chased by the bad guy with the knife. So I'm almost glad the cop didn't have the gun out, which he should have had, but you know, the backdrop wasn't ideal. Our cop running away, and I'm just going to go from memory on this one. He turns away while he's running backwards. He has his gun out. It was hard to tell. I couldn't tell whether he had the gun out while he was running or whether he drew it while he's running, but I don't know what, you know, the bad guy was either closing in or he was close. So the cop had to turn around. He shoots the bad guy. Cop trips over the curb on the street and goes down. They both go down. And so after the discharge, so our bad guy is transported to the hospital, pronounced dead. Officer is also taken to the hospital, a non-life-threatening injury. And they don't say it, but I'm sure it's the guy that tripped over the curb, you know, going backwards. And the cop fired 5 quick shots. They were quick, but they were slow enough to where you could count them. Rich Derpoli.
You know, listen, you know, again, this is something the media loves to overplay when they talk about, you know, the cops taking on the naked EDP, right? The naked individual. It is incredibly difficult to get a handle and subdue someone that has no clothes on. You've got nothing to grab onto. This is why in the NFL, the players wear uniforms that are 3 sizes too small. Right? Because if they could go out there naked, that's how they'd be playing. It limits your ability to grab people, right? Compound that problem with a guy with a knife. And now you've got cops who are thinking, well, do I use my taser? Do I use my stun gun? Do I use my SAP? How about my fancy PR-24 baton that I just shined up? Hey, there's a time and place for all of that. But that guy pulls out a knife. It's time for you to pull out your gun and drop this guy. And let's end this, right? There's been way too many instances of cops going to these other alternative means to subdue these bad guys. Listen, the bad guy comes up with a knife. He's got the ability to kill you. You need to shoot this guy. And that should be what you're primarily thinking about. All this other stuff is nice, but it doesn't fit all of these situations. You got to start thinking more tactically about dropping this guy immediately for the bigger picture.
Yeah. You know, good. Excellent points. You're right. This agency better get their act together. There are definitely some training issues here. The word you use, tactical. You are spot on, Rich. If you know, we could have had a dead cop, and even if you know our cop with the body cam had a gun, he likely could have shot, you know, the officer he's trying to protect. So they need to really think outside the box, and they need to get their act together on this thing. And it's training. And they're lacking in that. But the good news is that, you know, we can learn from this. I mean, not just this agency, but all of us can. And I tell you, these, you know, this less lethal and the encouraging, you know, people hurt and killed. It's just kind of sad that we're there.
Well, I think it's the less lethal, all these alternatives that you dropped into all these cops to use. That's problem one. But the other problem is, don't get caught up in thinking that if you're not with one of the quote major metropolitan police departments, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, that nothing happens. Things happen that are just as deadly if you were in one of these major metropolitan cities. They just don't happen with the same frequency, right? So don't get lulled into that false sense of security that because you're in a smaller city, that the danger is any less.
Hey, real quick, because we got less than a minute. RVMnews.com, FBI agent gets suspended after refusing to perp walk James Comey. Is that the whole perp walk within like 15, 20 seconds? What's your opinion on that? Should he have done that or not?
If nothing else, it would have been a tremendous deterrent for all these elected officials who are pulling all these shenanigans and hijinks that, hey, your time's coming as well. You see what happened to Comey? You're next. So I was fully in favor of that.
All right. I love it. Wounded Blue, the woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out of the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So I support the Wounded Blue. I hope that you guys do, that you do too. A shout out to our sponsors. And thank you so much, Rich Steripoli, for being on the show. You killed it. You nailed it today. And we talked about some very tough topics. So thank you so much for dumbing it down for the rest of us. Goals.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, MyMedicare, SafeGuard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.